Okay. I'm sure you've been welcome many times to YU, so we'll welcome you again. Just a few things before we begin. Firstly, we all know Seder's at 9, and Seder goes from 9 to 12. Tuesdays, we have early shear at 11, so then Seder's from 9 to 11. We should do our utmost to try to be at Seder on time at 9 a.m., and that means trying to go to a minyan that will facilitate you'll try to be there at 9. Look around, but I'm just, you know, everyone should try to make the effort to try to do that as best their ability. Someone actually asked me to announce they're trying to have a strong minyan in the Beis Medrash at 7:40. So they said it finishes about 8:30, so that gives enough time to have breakfast, try to be on time at Seder. And chavrusas, everyone should try to have a chavrusa, and the Hashem, it should be good. You learn together. Yossi and Josh are the shear assistants, so if you need assistance with the chavrusas, you can go to them, you can come to me. In general, I give you my phone number at home. If anything, if I could be of help with anything in that's shy to you, doesn't have to just be learning. Anything that I could be of help with, Mr. Shem, you always feel free to call and shouldn't hesitate. My number is 973-594-4947. So just don't call too late, maybe not after 10, because my wife might be sleeping, maybe I'll be sleeping, whatever. And Bezer Shem, in the afternoon, I will, Bezer Shem, be here in the afternoon, except for Tuesdays when we give early shear. I go home early after shear. So if you want to speak to me in the afternoon about something, you can do that. Just make up the time beforehand, and we can plan that out. I just want to stress attendance is really, really the anchor. I mean, the effort is, everyone knows why it's very difficult. But you all can do well, and you have to really be time, very disciplined your time as best of your ability. And that means that you have work to do. It's very important to try to have a night seder. I know the work is very difficult. I went through it myself. But if you can try to discipline your time, you know, whether it's in the weekends or Fridays, so you won't have to miss any seder and in the morning or night or ever miss shear. And the effort is really the ikar. That's what I look for. And you know, that's what we should try to do the best we can and try to attend all the time to shear and seder and not try to miss the precious moments that we have in yeshiva to learn. Also want to stress, really every day, you really should try to do chazara. Whether that's going to be at night or whether that's going to be in the morning. I know at night it's very good to do something in the kiyas. If you want to try to finish the mesechta, that's a great thing. If you want to do chazara a little bit in that 2-hour slot from 8 to 10 of shir, make up with chavrusa, that'd be great too. If you're not going to do that, I'd recommend that doing it in the morning right away, maybe from 9 to 9:30, whatever it's going to be. And then you can have, if you have questions, you can ask me, you can ask the other fellows. But really, to chazar every day. Chazar is very, very crucial, and to go over it and to make sure that you know it so that it won't pile up for the bechina. If a guy works hard every day and really strives and does well, you know, and let's say he gets an 80 on the bechina, he'll still get an A because he's in cheers and seder, he's working hard. Now, if a guy is very bright and, let's say, is not at shir all the time and then really starts to do a lot of chazara, you know, and gets 100 in the bechina, so I don't know necessarily I will ensure that he'll get an A because he wasn't here all the time. So the ikar is working hard in attendance, and also I want you to do well in the bechina as well. But really, chazara every day is really important because then you'll have a double chazara when you chazar for the bechina. So it'll really be in your minds. About different svarim, obviously we all should have gemaras. Everyone should really have a Rambam, okay? You should have a Rambam in general, but the Chelek Aleph and the Rambam, those 2-volume Rambams, or any Rambam, but the Rambam Hilchos Ishus, Hilchos Gerushin. It's very good if you can buy a Rashba. I have to get one myself, the blue Rashbas and the Ritvas. The Ritvas, the first part is the Ksav Yad Ritva, which is the first part of the Sefer is the Ritva. Second part of the Sefer is Rabbeinu Kwespres, who is one of the great Rishonim. That starts right here. So it's the second part of the Ritva. So if you can get a Ritva in a Rashba, and up in Yehoshua, if you can. And those are the and obviously a Kovetz Mefarshim, everything is in there, so that's a very good recommendation to buy as well. So if you can, you can. But certainly a Gemara and a Rambam and the Rashba and the Ritva, very, very important. Okay. And any other Sefer is very good as well. Okay. Alright, let's begin the Masechta. Okay? Let's begin the Masechta. Okay, Mishnah says here, Hadabes Amarau. Says the following, a maybe get in Medina Sayyam, someone brings a get from Medina Sayyam, Sarach Shiyomer b'fanenechtam, he must say that before him is written, before him was signed. The Shliach, and we'll get into the details, B'Hashem, before he delivers the get to the woman, must say that before him was written, before him was signed. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Afa maybe Minarekam Minachagar, those are cities that border Israel. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mikar Ludim Nilud, those are cities that are muvla, meaning on three sides. It's basically what it is like this. And here's Eretz Yisrael. So on three sides, it's really swallowed up by Eretz Yisrael. Just the fourth side is Brooks Lawrence. So even that city, which is so close to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Gamliel says, I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar says, Rabbi Eliezer says, Omer Afim Mitfar Ludim Nilud. The Chachamim Omer Einot Tzarich Shiomer B'Fanenechtam B'Fanenechtam. You don't have to say b'fanenechtam, el ha-mevi midini seyam v'amolich. You only have to do it, and that's also a bit repetitive. And the Gemara is going to talk about that. The first line in the Mishnah seems to be a bit repetitive. V'amolich means you take it from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlarts. V'amevi midini seyam. If you bring it from one province to another, midini seyam, sarach shiyom v'fanenechtam, fanenechtam. Reb Shimon Gomel, afilu mehegmoni lehegmoni, let's say East Berlin, West Berlin, before the Iron Curtain fell. Also, you need b'fanei nechtov. Reb Yudah, I mean, Rekim leMizrach. Rekim is considered to be chutzlarts eastward. Rekim kimMizrach. The Ashkelon leDarom, Ashkelon kedarom. Southward, Ashkelon is considered to be chutzlarts. Me'akol etzafon, Akol etzafon. Reb Meir argues. Reb Meir, Akol keretz Yisrael leGittin. And you don't need b'fanei nechtov. And maybe get keretz Yisrael. Ein otzarach shiyom b'fanei nechtov. B'mishalav orim iskayim b'chol somov. And if there are protesters, which we'll also get to the details, Yitzhu was asking Lomaisa, what do you have to do? Do they forge? They claim that the get is forged. You have to verify the signatures. Okay, so let's begin like this. The Lashon HaNevi is a Lashon of Bidyevin. Where do we find that? The Gemara comments in Sota. When you ever say ha, it's like if it was done. Like the beginning of Sota says, Hamakane is Ishto. Kinui is a husband who warns his wife not to have yichud with a specific man, Mr. X. That's called kinui. So the beginning of Sotan, Dabbez, and Manav, the first one says, I'm a kanin. Obviously, it's not a good recommendation a husband should give kinui to his wife. Because if she has yichud with that man, and they're to aid him on that kinui, and they're to aid him on the steer on the yichud, then she's a suffix sota, she's prohibited to him, and she's got to drink the mesota. So Hamekane, one who gives kinui, it's not a recommendation, it's if it was done. So Lashon HaBidyevi, the Gemara writes, it's so debased him out. So in the same vein, the Rash Mishatz is quoted, and I know guys were looking for it, I only saw it in the Melach HaShlomo. Melach HaShlomo is one of the great Gedolim in the back of the Mishnayos, Yochan HaVos. He quotes the Rash Mishatz that also writes that this is a Lashon of what? This is a Lashon of Bidyevi. Okay, this is a Lashon of Bidyevi. It's very interesting. It's a Lashon of Bidyevi. Okay? Why is it a Lashon of Bidyevi? Because we don't want, God forbid, getting. We chas v'sholem don't look for get. We don't want a married couple to get divorced. And therefore, the Tosha Shans quoted in the Melech HaShlomo writes, the Lashon of Hamevi is a Lashon of Bidyevi. That we don't look for this. And therefore, we assume halacha lemaisa that the Mishnah is also purporting this lie by saying, really, it's usur l'chachila to divorce a wife. We really don't want you to divorce your wife. But if you did, then the din is the following. So that's why the Lashon of Hamevi is used, the Lashon of Bidyevi. And where does that send us to? So that sends us to the first Mishnah, the last Mishnah rather, in the Masechta that I want you to see. Let's take a look at it. Where the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph points out, last Mishnah in Maseches Gittin points out, what is the grounds for a divorce, God forbid? Okay? What are grounds for divorce? The Mishnah presents three different shittas. Okay? Beishamei omrim lo yigarish adam es ishto elim kein matzaba irvas dar. Elim kein matzaba davar irvas. Shenemar ki matzaba irvas dar. Beishamei says, a man can only divorce his wife if he found her to be mezaneh. If she was mezaneh, then he can divorce her. Ubeisilu omrim afilu hikdicha tavshilo. Even if she burnt the chulit, it's grounds for divorce. Shenemar ki matzaba irvas dar. And he learns Irvus Dover is being Dover. What's Dover? Anything that's bad. See Rachel. Anything that's bad. The chulit got bad. It didn't smell good. Rabbi Kiva Omer Afilu Matzachiris Noyimet. Rabbi Kiva says, if he found someone who's more beautiful than her, it's grounds for divorce. Shenemar, Maya in Motimsa Chain Behena. So you have three sheikhs presented in the Mishnah in Gittin as to what the grounds for divorce is. So you get the opinion from, you get the impression from Beisil and Rabbi Kiva that, you know what? It's no big deal, right? If a guy divorces his wife. These grounds aren't so chashuv, aren't so strong. So that's why I want you to see the Gemara here on Daf Tzadi Amud Beis. Take a look at the Gemara on the last daf in the Masechta, right before it gets wrong. It says, Kisanei Shlach. What does that mean? Hated is the one that sends out his wife. Reb Yudomer im Sanesa Shlach. If you hate her, send her away. Reb Yochanan Sanuya Meshalech. No! Reb Yochanan says the man who sends her out is hated. So it's a machloikis. One shot is if you hate her, you send her out. Second day is if you send her out, you're hated. V'lo pligi, habesuk rishon, habesuk shady. There's no machloikis. One is talking about the first marriage and the second marriage. The first marriage, you are hated if you divorce your wife. Second marriage is, if you hate her, then you can divorce her. Dumber of a lazer called Megarish Ishto Rishona, Afilu Mizbeach Morin Lovdmos. He says, anyone who divorces his first wife, even the Mizbeach cries, Shenemar Vezo Shanisa Tasu Kasus Dima, as Mizbeach Hashem Bechi, the Anakin. Me'ayno Pinos Alamincha Velakachas Ritzom Yerchem Martim Alma, Aki Hashem Heid Beini Vein Eishis Nurecha Shirta Begatataba. You were a traitor with her. You created a covenant. She's the wife of your covenant, and you divorced her. So what the Gemara concludes with is that even if you hold like Beis Hillel, even if you hold like Rabbi Kiva, the bottom line is that, you know what? Maybe burning the chulent, or if you found someone else more beautiful, might be grounds. But if you acted on that and divorced her, it's a terrible, terrible thing. It's a negative, negative thing, and even Mizbeach cries about it. That's the first wife. Second wife, it gives the impression that if he doesn't like her and you're not getting along, then you're not considered to be hated by divorcing her. So this is what we want to bring out, that even if you hold like the last two shittas, the Masechta concludes that it's a very, very negative thing. Okay? It's not a good thing at all. And we always strive to try to fix things so there never will be a gerush. Now, I found in the library, there are different editions of the Truvis Arashma. But this is a famous, I didn't get a chance to photocopy it, but you know, tomorrow, maybe we'll be able to give it out, okay? But the Rashba has a very famous tshuva in Simeon Ches. I remember hearing this many years ago from Rav Yudom Binyamin, who's a Rebbe in Shalmin. He's also the Rav of, what's the name of the city? Nofi Alon, correct. He's a great, great goal. And in Simeon Ches, in the tshuvas, in the Rashba, Rashba is a famous tshuva where he discusses why there are not brachas recited on certain mitzvahs. Very interesting. He says, for example, I'm just going to say it outside to you. He says, for example, let's say Hashmatas Ksofen, which Bez Hashem will talk about as we get more towards Rosh Hashanah. Shemitas Ksofen, all loans that people owe you money are canceled. Why is there no brach on that? Because he says that is considered to happen without a meisah. It's automatic. He says, why is there no brach on staka? Why not? Because the honey might not accept it, so it'll be a brach of a tala. It's not totally in your control. He goes down the line, it's very fascinating, on many different brachas, many different mitzvahs that don't have a bracha. And then he gets to, well, what about get? I'll read you exactly the line here. He says, the chen al gerushin. Why is there no bracha on the sinus again? Because it is a mitzvah, in a situation where they're not getting along, where the woman was mezana, and even according to them, the Masechta, he's tried everything he could, and they just can't get along, then in fact, he's not considered to be hated. It seems when the Gemara, when it says he's hated, you didn't make an effort to try to work things out. So he says, why is there no bracha? Fascinating rashba. There are many, many divorces that are done by Beirut. He didn't find her to be Mizana. And he divorced her. It's interesting, which sheet does she seem to go with? Beishamai there, which is a little bit difficult. Normally we don't possibly like Beishamai. But we're suggesting him to go like the other two. Still, it's not the most proper thing. Vafu bishesh b'mitzvah m'mitzvah. I can dig you up cases with the mitzvah to divorce a wife. Let's say a kohen married a grusha. He's not allowed to be married to a grusha. Or a kohen married a yoris. In those cases, the mitzvah to divorce her. Those cases, why is there no bracha? He says the following. Very interesting. Lo chligi rabbanan legerishin sheyabarach the mixes agerishin for yabarach the mixasim. The Gachamim made a low clue. There never is a bracha on gerishin, because since there are many gerishin are given for the wrong reasons and for an avera, even though there are some where there's a mitzvah, they made a low clue. And therefore, and I don't think that he holds like Beishamai. I think he was just trying to say that in an extreme case where that's a mitzvah. And he's not saying, the Rashi is not saying I hold like Beishamai. He's like, even according to the other two opinions, you're hated if you do it. And therefore they made a low clue and they said categorically there is no bracha. But that's an important thing, and this is classically what you call a mitzvah's kiyumis. What is gerushin? Gerushin is a mitzvah, but it's only situational. Hopefully that situation should never come about ever. Right? And that's very important. There are certain mitzvahs that are chometz kiyumis, like what? Tefillin, which is obligatory every day. And there are certain mitzvahs that are kiyumis, like what? Tzitzis. Right? You should wear a four-quarter garment to be chayav tzitzis. Now, if you don't wear a four-quarter garment, you're not chayav tzitzis. Now, the Gemara writes in Menachos, Hashem gets angry at someone, you don't put yourself in that obligation of four-quarter garment. Now, Hashem doesn't get angry at someone if he doesn't put himself in a situation of giving a get. There are certain types of mitzvah kiyumis that Hashem wants you to do, like tzitzis. And certain types of mitzvah kiyumis that he doesn't want you to do, right? Like gerushin. But unfortunately, Rechmanon Yitzlan, there are cases where what? Where a taka does emerge and it has to be done. Okay? So that's what I want to bring out. And that is blessing us. And that's the shot in the Mishnah why it says Hagevi. A lotion of what? Bidi Evan. It's a lotion of Bidi Evan because we don't want this to be. We don't want this to come about at all. And that's why the lotion of Evi is used. That's the quote from the Taisa Shas that the Melech Shlomo says. And that's what it means, because we don't really want it from Isaac. And that's highlighted, I think, by the fact that what there was no bracha, the Rashi says. Because they made a low fluke. Either our times or it's a mitzvah, but in general, most times it's not given for the right reasons. Therefore, they made a low fluke. And even the times where it is given for the right reason, there is no bracha. Okay? That's the Rashi, Lemaisa, in Simen, Chelek Aleph, Simen Yuches. Okay. That's one shot as to why the Gemara, the Masechta, begins with Hamevi. Okay? That's one shot why it says Hamevi, a Lashon Bidyevi. Well, let's give another shot. Let's offer another shot why it's so. What's strange about the Masechta, the way it begins? Someone tell me what's strange about it. Go ahead. First name?
Alex.
Alex, go ahead. Now what? Well, we're going to get to that, but just regarding Gittin itself. Okay? Just regarding Gittin itself, Alex. Yeah, go ahead, Zach. Right, and then you start talking about details about delivering a get from Chutzlars. What about what the concept of a get is all about? It's very strange. We're going to get to your point too, Alex. Okay, so the Sefer Yad David points out the following, and this is what I wanted you to see: Lush in the Ritva, and I hope you have the Chiddushi Aran also. I should say you should, if you can, get a Chiddushi Aran, the Ran in the back, and also the Chiddushi Aran. Chiddushi Aran is a Lushin where he writes the following, and this is what you were saying, Alex. He says, what was the Tana discussing before? He says that we're talking about a Lashon Hamevi of a get that was mentioned in another place. Where is this Tana referencing? So says the Chiddushi Aran, he says, Hamevi get menin nisyam, apirkin kamet de Kiddushin koi. Exactly like you said, Alex. Maseches Gittin is a follow from Maseches Kiddushin. The Tana also mekones atzu of a get, bedinu da'avil amistah yuchos get beration. We really should have taught get bereisha. Hilchos get. You see, he's taking care of both points. El when it came in the katanta, he chaviva leva akdame. Takana of the funny nech, the funny nech is a takana. It's a rabbinic enactment, and it's chaviv to the tana. Of course, dinim d'yorais are chaviv to the tana. But the Gemara has a lashon that dinim d'rabban are very chaviv to the tanoim. Because sometimes people, you know, people minimize the ports of dinim d'rabban, takanas. On the contrary, the chachamim say dinim d'rabban are very important. You have to listen to dinim d'rabban as well. Lo tasur comes from lo tasur. So therefore, what he wants to say is two points. Number one, he says that really what we should have talked about Hilchos Gittin first, and not talked about details that we're going to get from Chutzlars. Number two is, what's the Tana, what's the segue? What is it discussing from beforehand that it's a continuation of? So says the Ron and the Ritva, two points. Please get it. Number one, that we discussed the Takonas Chachamim to begin the Sechta, because Takonas are Chavir to the Tanoim. That's number one. And therefore we talk about this takana of saying fine enough before we get to the dinim of get. Number one. And number two, it's a continuation of Masechus Kedushin. Where was what? Get mentioned in Kedushin? The beginning of the Masechus Kedushin. How does a woman acquire herself? How do you terminate a marriage? One of two ways. Through the death of the husband, God forbid, and a get. So once get was mentioned, we talk about that as well. Now, Alex, this is very, very mechudish to me. Because I always thought, and this is true, if you look in the Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos in the Seder of Shas, what comes first? Gittin before Kedushin. So let's get that. So the obviously the Ritva and the Ran argue with the Rambam's order of Shas. The Ritva and the Ran clearly are calling that what? Kedushin came before Gittin. The Rambam held not that way. Rambam clearly holds not that way, and the Chassam Sofer already points this out, that obviously they are what assuming against the Rambam. I mean, you know, there's always the pshat that the makkah before the medicine before the makkah. Gittin is taught first before what? Before Kiddushin. But the truth is, according to the Ran and the Ritva, it's not true. Kiddushin before Gittin comes out to be a machlekes Ritva and Ran against the Ran of what the Seder should be in Shas. Okay? What the Seder should be in Shas. Okay. And that in fact is the Lashon of HaMevi. This is a second shot in general. Like the first shot we had Hamevi, the first Mahalakot was Binyan. This is a second shot. What's the second shot? What is Hamevi? Hamevi of the get that was mentioned in Kiddushin, Daf Beis Siman Aleph. That get that was mentioned in Daf Beis, that concept, what's the din if a Shliach brings it from Chutz Laaretz? That's what Hamevi is referring to. First shot we said is Hamevi Lashon Binyan. Second shot of Hamevi is what? Is referring to referencing that get that's mentioned in Mishnah Daf Beis Siman Aleph. What happens if it's brought from Chutz Laaretz? Not referring to a Lashon of Bidyevit, but it's referring to Hamevi, like Hei Yediyah, the link to Masechus Kedushin. That's only through the Ritva and the Ran, doesn't work according to the Rambam. So maybe the Rambam would agree with our first shot, right? Lashon Bidyevit, right? Maybe that's how the Rambam would say why it's a Lashon Hamevi. Okay. There's a third shot, maybe, that we could offer, and that is from the Chassam Sofer, and that is that maybe the Masechta did not want to begin with Puranas. I mean, it is Masechus Gittin, so the whole thing we never want it to happen, of course, but that's why the Masechta began with the halacha of, a technical halacha of bringing a get from Chutz Laaretz. Okay? What is the din? Because we're going to see, what's the whole reason why the Takana, we'll see this in the coming weeks, why do you bring a get from Chutz Laaretz and he has to say Fanei Nechav? Normally, what do we require in Kol Torah Kula? How many Aedim? Two Aedim. Here we have a special Kula. Why? Because of Aguna. We don't want her to get stuck. So, at a certain level, it's pleasant. Because we're trying to help her out. So, the Chassam Sofer writes, we always assume the Maaseh B'Masechta always wants to begin on a good note. Granted, it's Gittin, but that's goofy why we didn't discuss Hilchos Gittin straight up. Because that's a Peronus. It's Peronus. So therefore we go to the technical halachas. But this technical halacha is a pleasant element. The pleasant element that we believe to save a Fanei Nechav, to save her from being in a Guna. Otherwise she should require two Aedim. It's a special Kula. So in that sense, it's a Nushan of Peronus. You'll ask me, where does it say in the Masechta Peronus? The Gemara has it later on, just to get it, the Mara Makom, Adaf Yuches. The Gemara says, "Lo makdim inish purnasal enafshe." On the second line, a man never writes up a get and puts it in his pocket, because a get is a notion of purnas. Lo makdim inish purnasal enafshe. That's a famous klal here. The Gemara has in get new chesam enaf. The Gemara's referring to a get. So the notion of get is purnas. So we want to shy away from that as we talk about technical halachas here, but this technical halacha saves yigunim. That's the chesam sofer's pshat, and that's why he, in fact, says the Masechta that begins like that. That klal is germane in different topics, like about life insurance. It's all shyly possible. Can you buy life insurance? Because buying life insurance might be mach diminished pronosim lenafshi, God forbid. So we assume not. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that buying life insurance is for sure permissible. It's not a chisar of a moon and bitachon Hashem, and it should be done. You want to take care of your family. That's not a breach of the mach diminished pronosim lenafshi, like the guy writing the get. That's what Rav Moshe writes in the tshuvas. Okay. This is the lashon that we have of Hamevi. Okay. Let's see Rashi. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says Hamevi get. Okay. Rashi says the following. Okay. Rashi says Hamevi get Nidinisayam. Kol chutz lords karilam ibinaseyam bar mi bubble kedomer lekaman. Okay, what does that mean? Every part of chutz lords is called what? Ibinaseyam, except from bubble. Okay, except for bubble. So Rashi writes. Interesting. Okay, it's all called chutz lords. What's the difficulty with this? With this Rashi, the Ran asks on Rashi. And the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all ask. Maybe Rekim Michegir, according to Rambam, also has to say b'fanei nechta, right? It's mashma if you maybe Rekim Michegir, you also have to say b'fanei nechta. And what does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah say, Aaron? Only Rambam Gamliel requires that, implying that what? The Tanakhama doesn't require. Excellent. So ask the Ran, the Rashba, the Ritva, and Rashi. I don't understand. What do you mean all of Chutz Lawrence is called what? Medina-Siam, except for Bubble. That implies even a city right near the border, not necessarily far within the route, but let's say right near the border, is considered to be what? Is considered to be Klitzlars. And therefore, the Tanakhama should require the funny nechta, funny nechta. You're making a blanket statement. Rashi's making a blanket statement here, isn't it? All of Klitzlars is called Medina-Siam. But the Tanakhama, it's implied, does not require the funny nechta, reckon the chedra. That's the kasha that they ask on Rashi. Very difficult kasha, okay? Maharam Shif asks it on Rashi. Taisus therefore argues. Let's see that second Taisus. Mimidina Seyam. Hadal onakad hamevi get me chutz la'aretz. Why didn't it use a lashon of chutz la'aretz? Kedetani b'gemara. Hamevi get the svina. Kenevi b'chutz la'aretz. There's a brisa later on. It says a guy brings a get. In a boat. It's like you brought in chutz lords. Mishnu chutz lords have a mashma kol chutz lords. If you reckon the cheger. No, if it used chutz lords, it would include even reckon the cheger. L'hochi nakim medina siyam, the mashma rachok. Kamo b'yavomus tafkav zayin, a ish sholach bailu in medina siyam. A woman whose husband went to medina siyam, kamo parasich, a bit named ploni, uploni, bochum in medina siyam, lafuke reik rakim the cheger, the polik bru rubbing on leel. So what does Taisa say? Taisus argues on Rashi, let's get it, and Taisus defines what Medina Siam as being a far-off place. Makavos Rechonim, okay? Far-off place. That's how he wants to explain the pshat. A far-off place, okay? Now the Marshal points out that Taisus is arguing Rashi. Okay, Rashi said Medina Siam and Chutz Lards. Taisus says Medina Siam means what? Far-off place. So we have a Machlekes Rashi Taisus. Okay, what the definition is. We have a Machlekes and the Rashba and the Ran, they all argue on Rashi. Okay. Any ways to save Rashi? So let's see. So, it could be the following. The Kikoyon de Yoyne explains that Rashi was coming to explain the following. Rashi was trying to answer Toysus Kasha. Why did the Tana say Medina Siam and not Chutz Lards? He says if it would have said Chutz Lards, it would have what? It would have included even what? It would have included even bubble. Excellent. It would have included even bubble. So Rashi had to explain why he used Medina Seyarim and not Chutzlarts. Because if it would have said Chutzlarts, it would have included even bubble. Bubble's not included. Okay? So don't be upset with Rashi. Rashi just saying, the reason why I'm explaining why I didn't say Chutzlarts, because Chutzlarts would include everything on earth that's Chutzlarts. Bubble's not included. Okay? That's one shot. Kikoyon Diyon says this pshat. Okay, that's one pshat. The Maharim Shiv gives a different pshat. He gives a different pshat. He wants to say the following. All Rashi meant to say is that the western part of Eretz Israel that sits on the Mediterranean, that's called Medina Siyam. Therefore, he explained the rest of the three sides, Medina Siyam as well. Okay, that's all. Interesting. Medina Siyam. You cannot deliver again if you're coming from the west unless you cross over the Mediterranean. So therefore, that's called Medina Siyam. So since the western side of Eretz Yisrael is called Medina Siyam, he said all the places are called Medina Siyam. Okay? That's what the Maharim Shif explains. Oh. But the Ron, though, says not the way. Gave you the Ron on Dabezim and Aleph and the Dabe Arif. I'm sorry, Aleph and Aleph and Dabe Arif, right? The Ron, the Dabe Arif starts at Aleph. Right, the Gemara starts in Daf Beis. So the Ron there, I hope you saw it, the Ron explains very beautifully that, you know what, Tosfos asks on Rashi, argues on Rashi, and the Ron says, you know what, I want to explain to you the following, that really Rashi holds like you, Tosfos. That's exactly what he meant. What does the notion of Medina Siyam mean? It means to the west. Now in the west of Eretz Yisrael, not a great map drawer, but you can tell. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's the west. There are no, you never have a scenario of a city right next to it. You never have a scenario of a city swallowed up, because this is all water. Okay, when we get to the Shem Daches, there might be islands, but it's all water here, right? It's all Mayan. So since this is all Mayan, you don't have these scenarios of cities that are with walls or cities that are on the borders. So that's exactly what the Ron wants to say. The Ron wants to say someone who brings a get from Aver Liam has to say Bafanenechna. The other three borders is not true. They have some cities that are smuchos, some cities that are muvlos, and therefore Lamaisa, those cities that are not smuchos and muvlos are similar to the ones in Medina Siyam. That's why Rashi says all of Chutzlarts is called Medina Siyam. Because all of Chutzlarts is Doma to Chutzlarts Bitsad Ma'arovi, Shemeva Liyam. All of Chutzlarts, Lamaisa, is similar to the Chutzlarts on the western side. Meaning to say, there are cities that are far away. Look, Lamaisa. In other words, it's similar to the Maharim Shif's pshat, but a little bit different. There's the third pshat, this is there. And Eretz Yisrael, by definition, you have to be coming from Morocco, or whatever, you know, the northern North Africa. Morocco, or Portugal, or Spain over here, right? To get there, it's strong. Meaning, that's why you can't have a scenario of the laws and rules. So he says, that's why we call the whole thing, what? Medina Siyam. Because really, Medina Siyam is a catchphrase for cities that are what? Cities that are all what? All similar. If you start picking on Lamaisa, the eastern border, the northern, or the west, or the southern, you might have cities that are by Mublos, cities that are right on the border. By definition, if you talk about far, far away, Amaisa, then they're all similar. That's what the Ron wants to say that Rashi really says. He says the Lushan in the Dapi Arif is the following. The Lushan in the Dapi Arif is the end of the piece. This is Lezek Kivin Rashi. That's what the Kivin Rashi. Kolkar Sakram Nisayam Kolomar Kolkar Shudom L'Chutzar Shem Medina Sayam. It's similar to the Chutzar Shem Medina Sayam. That is not like what? Smuchos and Muflos. And that's, it's very similar to the Maharim Shiv, but Lamaisa, what it comes out is it's not exactly the same, because what the Maharim Shiv said is that all we cared about was, not all we cared about, we called that the western side. We were going bus to the western side. That's what he wanted to say, the Maharim Shiv. This is a little bit different, Lamaisa. This is different. So there's the Maharim Shiv was saying that Rashi, don't say Dafka, the western side of Eretz Yisrael that sits on, is called Medina Siyam. The other part of Chutz La'aretz is also called Medina Siyam. That's the Maharim Shiv's job. The Rashi is just saying this is unique because we don't have cities like this when you talk about the western side. And that's why Rashi said what he said. And if you say like the Ran, there's no machloikis. There's no machloikis at all. And Rashi will agree to Ohum Aysa. Rashi would agree to that, and therefore there would be what? There would be no machloikis in that sense. Rashi is also referring to a far off place. The only reason why he calls it Chutzarot is because it's similar to the western side. Okay. I just have one kasha on this whole thing. Of this whole discussion. Please get it with this Rashi, this Tosfos. The Sefer Pnei Shlomo book just points out on Tosfos, the Gemara in Talmud Aleph says that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar do not want to distinguish between Medina Sayyam, Shlo Tachlok and Medina Sayyam. It's mashma that they also call the cities that are close by Medina Sayyam. The Gemara black on white on Talmud Aleph writes that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar do not want to distinguish between cities in Medina Sayyam. So they require fun and echo across the board. But the Gemara is calling those cities Medina Sayyam. That's against this whole discussion that we're saying. The Gemara is calling what? Those cities that are close by, the Medina Sayyam. We're saying that according to Tosfos, it's far off places. And we're saying according to Ran, Rashi also meant far off places. Medina Sayyam by definition means far off places. That's against the Gemara. I thought it was a tremendous point. I don't really have an answer for it. But I want you just to know, okay? I mean, of course, you should look at Medina Sayyam, referencing Rekhemethagir, and referencing also Farlud and Malud. Those are close by. Don't call Medina Sayyam. We just went through a whole discussion that Medina Sayyam means far off places. The Gemara black and white doesn't say that. It's a Shlom Tachlo Medina Sayyam. It's even talking about the cities that are closer by. Yeah, go ahead, Seth. Right, but the whole premise of Tosfos is that it means a far off place. I understand, but that's not far. These aren't far, so why call it Medina Sayyam?
The same way
that the distance of
the sea.
Medina Sayyam, you mean?
Judging as soon as
Eric Kibur
ended up on the western side, so
to start
judging.
Right, but I'm saying, but why call it that phrase? That's all I'm saying. It shouldn't say Medina Sayyam. If Medina Sayyam is a far off place, why does the Gemara call those places Medina Sayyam? You mean it's just a catchphrase and meant really chutzlars? It could be. I'm just saying the Gemara calls it Shlotah Medina Sayyam. And it was referencing these cities. Okay, alright, it's a difficulty. Maybe you could say something like Zetzay. Yeah, go ahead, Yasser.
You could expand Rashi. Bubble.
Okay.
Right.
Well, it has to be a place where there's Torah, which we'll get into when we get into the Gemara, when we get to that, when we ever get to the Gemara. But I'm just saying, if you say it Rechoka, though, these aren't far. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Why the Gemara say Shlotachot Medina Sayyam? Shlotachot Chutzlaretz. That's all I'm saying. Seems like, unless you say the Gemara wasn't referring to the Medina Sayyam of the Mishnah, which is a little bit difficult. I hear what you're saying, but I'm just saying, why call it Medina Sayyam? It means Derech Rechoka. Okay. Yeah, your first name, Yehuda? Oh, I got it. Okay, very good. Go ahead, Yehuda. Yes. Hi, Shalom
Aleichem.
Welcome, our Rav Reis, the new Manal Shlita.
Ah,
welcome.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry to barge in. I just wanted to introduce the Limud for the first day, and I'll be very, very brief so you can continue to hear the words of Torah from Rabbi Hirsch. Look around the room. This is a very impressive gathering, and Mr. Shem, Rabbi Hirsch has been very successful at being Mavid Talmidim, and for very good reason, because there's so much to gain, so much to learn, not only from the Torah from Rabbi Hirsch, but even from watching his mitos, his personality, his slavis, his asmada. Hopefully these qualities will be able to seep in to the Talmidim of the Shir as well, as I'm sure it will. Briefly, we've begun this man, and being in yeshiva, as we know, this is an entire, what we call holistic, yeshiva experience, despite the fact that many of you have college studies in the afternoon. It should not take away from the overall perspective that this is essentially you're here to learn in a yeshiva environment. It's a peculiar yeshiva in part because of the fact that we have other elements that we try to incorporate worldly wisdom and knowledge and skills into our yeshiva experience, both as a necessity and also out of an appreciation that this should increase our year of Shemayim, but we should approach it with that perspective. There are opportunities, obviously, not only for the time that you spend in shiur, but at night as well. We have the Bati Midrashim that are open for night seder, and you should, you know, please take a look at all of the signs up around the Bati Midrashim. If you need to arrange kabusas, you get in touch with the various sholem and meshivim who are available, and the skad mashkichim who are here to help you, just in terms of any needs and any arrangements that you need to make in order to set yourself up as properly in the base measure, set yourself up for siddurim and for chabrusas, to take advantage of all the chabrusas and learning opportunities that are here to the fullest extent possible. I'll say one quick word and then I'll get out of here. But in Belarjan, I used to sit to talk about the goal in all of yeshivas, and people would sit and learn, was the Torah Lishma. Now it's Torah Lishma defined. Lishma is, as we'll see in Maseches Gittin, you start off in Maseches, it's all about writing a Get Lishma. So writing a Get Lishma, we understand. Writing a Get Lishma is Lishma, Lishem Gerishin. You write the Get specifically for the husband, specifically for the wife, and specifically for the purpose of the divorce. Meaning that Lishma, when you talk about a Get, Lishma is for the Get. The Get was written for the sake of the Get. So if Chaim Volozhin says the Nefesh HaChayim, it's the same idea when we talk about Lishma, Gedolah Torah Lishma. When we talk about learning Torah Lishma, it means, when we say, what is Torah Lishma? You're learning Torah for the sake of Torah. You're learning Torah for the sake of developing the sukkah, developing the understanding of Torah, to develop understandings of Torah that were always contained within the Torah, but every single person, every single shir, every single limud brings out new dimensions of understanding in the Torah. That is Torah Lishma. To develop that enhanced understanding of Torah. You're doing it for the sake of the learning of the Torah itself. So, it's interesting, there's a famous kasha, beginning of Maseches Gittin, with respect to the shita of Rabba. Rabba says, why is it that a shliach who brings a get from chutzlah, from Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael, has to say, v'fanei nechta, v'fanei nechta? It's a machlokes, Rabba, remember? Probably touched upon it already. Not yet. Okay, coming attractions. Rabba says, the reason why a shliach has to say, a get was written in my presence, and signed in my presence, is because we're worried in Medina Sayyam, outside of Israel, far away, we're worried because ain't the key in the Shema. They don't know the Shema, they don't understand the Shema, they may not necessarily, we can't assume that we see a get, that the get was written in the Shema, that it was written specifically for the purpose of divorce, and maybe therefore the get is possible because the get has to be written specifically for the purpose of divorce. Says so in the Torah, because of law, has to be lishma, has to be specifically for the purpose of divorce. So the kasha, all the Rishonim ask on this is, how do you solve the problem? If the shliach says, the get was written in my presence, was signed in my presence, the shliach didn't say a word about lishma. He didn't say it was written lishma. He said it was written in my presence, signed in my presence. He didn't say it was written specifically for divorce, so what have you accomplished? So there are many shitos and Rishonim to answer this question, but Rashi says as follows. Rashi says that you're right. He doesn't say anything about Lishma. This doesn't solve the problem. But what this does is create a dialogue. It creates a dialogue. The shliach begins by saying, I have authority to discuss this get. Because you know why? Because this get was written inside in my presence. Since I have authority, we can engage in a dialogue. The Bezer engages in a dialogue with the shliach, and eventually they ask questions about what were the requisite intentions that went into writing the get, and the Bezer discovers, with talking to the shliach, that the get was written in Lishma. But it's only because it's the beginning of a dialogue. This is the beginning of a new Zman. It's the beginning of a new Limud. You're delving into the Gemara. You're here. This Limud is taking place in your presence. You can say, I was there. I was in Rabbi Hirsch's year. You're in this year. You're able to engage in this dialogue with each other, with Rabbi Hirsch. This should hopefully develop and evolve into the highest levels of learning Torah Lishma. So I wish you much hatzlacha over the course of this Zman. Anybody who has any questions whatsoever about anything going on in the yeshiva, feel free to stop by the Ritz office anytime. I'm always happy to talk to any one of you, and I'm happy to help in any way possible. I look forward to being able to stop by periodically over the course of the year, either to interrupt Rabbi Hirsch or to listen to learn from Rabbi Hirsch. Either way, we'll work it out, and it's a pleasure. Okay.
We're chaver in yeshiva. We're in shiur together.
Rabbi Hirsch and I were in Rosh Hashanah shiur together, I believe.
That's
way back when.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Yehuda, yeah, go ahead. Well, he just wants to say that that's what Rashi was referring to. That's he, the Ron wants to say this is what Rashi was referring to. He's not arguing. He's not Tosis. He says he says Rashi is like Tosis. That's what the Ron wants to say. We don't want to try to be Marva Machlekes. He said that's what he was driving at. Well, that's anyway we have the Kash on Tosis. You're right, but he didn't have that. He somehow wasn't bothered by it. So maybe you have to suggest like what Yossi wanted to say or Seth wanted to say. That literally, when the Gemara said it didn't mean this happened to Nishan. Maybe something along those lines. Okay, very well. Let's now begin the first Tosis, okay? There's a lot we have to see with the Rashi's and the Mishnah. Let's do the first Tosis now, okay? All right. Usually I call upon someone to read. I started reading myself. Who would like to read this first Tosis? All of us volunteer at once. Anyone want to read the first Tosis? Yitzi. Yeah, go ahead. Okay? I thought you were raising your hand. I don't know. Okay. All right, go ahead. Let's see the first Tosis. Go ahead. Right, there's a klal in Tosin Rishon. Anytime you have the word afagav, it's always implying a kasha. Usually Tosin says in Tomar, Tema, that's straight out kasha. Afagav also is implying a kasha. So go ahead, yeah, very good, Yitzhi, go ahead. Get this now. Right. Edom only sign on a get eliminate tikkun olam. We'll talk about that many times, Viz Hashem, throughout the year. There's a big machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, what makes up a get. Okay? Rabbi Elazar says the ikkar part of the get is what? Edom is sirah karsi. The Edom that soft delivery of the get. Meaning, according to Rabbi Elazar and Yeraisa Lova, you don't need Edom to sign on a get at all. You don't need any witnesses on a get. Midr Rabbanan, they enacted it to have, because you might not have the Edom Asir around. They might have died, they might have gone to Midas Yam, they never able to verify the veracity of the get, which we're going to talk about this Shem Division. Rebbeir Wells, no. The bigger part of the get is Edom Chasiva Karsi. You have to have signatures being a terror. So the Mishnah says later on, about that it's Mimnei Tikkun Olam. Go ahead. La'ayri.
La'ayri, the Koshtaris.
Yeah, they're talking all documents, Minimums. That's the Manaket Isha. Go ahead. Yeah, I just want to note too, Perkei Skabel, Tosis all over the Masechta calls the sixth Perkei Skabel. If you look in the Masechta, guess what it says? It says a Homer. So it's a Machlokes Rishonim what the sixth Perkei is called. Tosis Shik is a Skabel. Okay? It's an important note as well. If you look in the sixth Perkei, in the Shas, it says a Homer. Tosis held is called the Skabel. Okay? Because his Gerson, that beginning Mishnah, if I'm not mistaken, was what? The Skabel. Think so. Yes. Okay. Very good. Go ahead. So what's he bothered by? He just quoted two makoros that get what in other places dinim amanus. And here it says get is referring to get isha. Why didn't elucidate get isha? The Mishnah should have said the word isha. That's what Tosis implied kasha is. Lord, go ahead, Yitzi. Very good. Okay, very good. So Tosis says what he says. Now what? How does he answer it? Most places where get appears is referring to get Isha. And therefore, our mission is assuming most places. Okay, interesting. So I wanted you to see in this Tosis the Marshah, the Maharam, and the Maharam Shif. On this Tosis, okay? So what are they all bothered by Akasha? What's the Kasha? We deal with Mishnayos and Brises, was written by who? The Tanoi. Who wrote the Gemara? The Amoraim, right? What does Tosis answer? Tosis answers that in both places, it refers to what? Get Isha. Get refers to Get Isha. So they ask a very strong Kasha. If Stam Get refers to Get Isha, why did the Brisa in the sixth parak Tiskabel, which is talking about Star Mamon, why does it just say the Lashon of Get? You follow me? If in all places in Tanoim the word get means get isha, so why in the sixth parak in the Brisa does it just say the word get, and the Gemara there elucidates on the Brisa, David, and says what? Get mama. It's referring to get mama. Let the Tana himself say get mama. That's the Kasha, the Marav Shif, the Maharad, and also who else? The Marshal. Okay, everyone got that? Else you follow that? In the Mishnah, in the Brisa, it said get. But if the word get always references, usually references get Isha, so why did the Gemara have to explain later on there that it was referring to get Momo? The Tana should have done it. Because in Tanoim, Mishnah, and Brisa, it always refers to get Isha. So it should have said get Momo itself, the Brisa of the Mishnah. Why did it take the wait for the Gemara to explain it? That's the kasha they're all bothered by. Oh. So what's the teretz? The teretz is the following. Please get it. They say like this. At least the Maharav Shoah and the Maharav Shif say like this. Tosus didn't mean to say that the Tana has to elucidate Shtar Momo. What he meant to say is that Tana is usually is sose. Just says the word get. Sose means just says the word get. The Kavanah was that the Gemara needs to explain, is the Tana referring to get Momo or get Isha? And in the sixth parak, the Gemara explains get Momo, and here our Gemara does not explain it, because Stam get, the Kavanah is to get Isha. Meaning, that's exactly the answer. The Maharav Shoah and the Maharav Shif say, no, what Tosus referred to was the Gemara. The Gemara by us does not elucidate it's referring to get Isha, because it's obvious. When usually get is mentioned referring to get Isha. There, the Gemara needed to elucidate the word get, then get Momo. Meaning, the Tana always speaks in a sose lashon, close, just says the word get. But the Gemara there had to explain that the word get meant get Momo, because usually in most places the word get is used by Mr. Price refers to get Isha. And that why is that our Gemara never elucidates that the word get meant get Isha. Because in Rav Makomos, when the word get is used, it's referring to get Isha. I over there, that's exactly why the Gemara had to explain. You see, the shift is in the answers, it focuses on the Gemara. Their kasha was on the Tana, the Mishnah and the Brisa. Are you following me? And in the Terence, the focus is on the Gemaras. Our Gemara doesn't mention, because in Rav Makomos, get means get Isha. Over there, Lamaisa, it needed to elucidate because it meant get Mom. Okay. Now, the Maharam says a different Terence. What's the Maharam's teretz? The Maharam explains the Tana did not need to say get Momo, because the Brisa, obviously there, if you look there on Daf Samach Dalim and Alf, I think it was obviously talking about Choshen Yisrael. It obviously was talking about Dini Momos. So the Tana didn't need to explain it over there. It was obvious that it was referring to what Dini Momos. Here, though, which is the beginning of the Masechta, it should have explained what? It should have, the Tana should have elucidated what? Get Isha. It should have elucidated Get Isha. So how does that answer the Kasha, according to the Maharam, no? It's a little bit different, difficult, no? He says the Tana, what? Over there, didn't need to elucidate it, but here it should have elucidated, since the Chilum and the Sechta, you follow me? Well, what's the answer? The answer is because it's Rav Makomos. Get is referring to get Isha, doesn't have to say the word Isha. You follow what I'm saying? Hey, you got me? In other words, Rav time is referring to get Isha. See, the terrors of the Maharav Shoah and the Maharav Shif shifts the point from the Tanoim to the Gemara. The terrors of the Maharam, Tirtz of the Maharav Shoah, the Maharam doesn't shift it, leaves it in the hands of the Tana. Leaves it in the hands of the Tana. And what does it say? It says that the Tana usually doesn't have to elucidate because get means get Isha. Over there it doesn't elucidate it because we know it was talking about Dini Momos. Before it was talking about Dini Momos. Okay? And the Maharav Shoah says it's Muchach in the Madura Basra. The Maharav Shoah has two Maduras, the first and the second. In the second Madur, it's Muchach, he says, they're talking about Shtari Momo. Therefore, there's no need to mention it. Whereas here, it's not Muchach at all, and therefore, Mishtam, we're talking about Get Isha. So the Maharav Shoah in the Madur Basra gives a similar terence. Yeah, go ahead, Yitzchak. Because according to the Maharam, you see the kashas on the Tana. The answer to the Marshal Marshif is the kasha was their kasha was on the Tanoi. The Terence says no. The Gemaras have to elucidate there, but not here because Rov Get is Gedisha. According to the Marsh Maharam, the Terence is still referring to Tanoi. The reason why the Tana did not have to elucidate Shtar Moma because it's Lucha Chmenei Obey over there. Here, it's the beginning of the Masechta, so should have mentioned it. What's the answer, Yitzi? Rov Makom was its Gedisha. Okay. This is a little technical, but I want to get it. Because Lamaisa, it's very interesting, Lamaisa. I want you to get it. You know, like Rishli was saying, you have to work in Amelis. So we have to get the Amelis and also in the Pshat. Okay. Now there's one point, one second, Zach. There's one point I just thought was interesting. I hope, did anyone notice this? What are they all the Gedolei Achronim asking on? What were they asking on? You read two Makoros, right? Why did they only ask from the what? The sixth parak, and they didn't ask from the Mishnah. The Mishnah in HaSholeach. You understand what I'm saying? They all asked the Gedolei Achronim, why in Daf Samach Daled did the Tana what? Not say Shtar Moma. Why don't they refer, why don't they ask about Daf Lamed Daled? You follow what I'm saying? The Maharam, the Maharam Shif, they all ask, what about Daf Samach Daled? What about Daf Lamed Daled in HaSholeach? It just ain't close to Manala yet. That's a very interesting point, you know? They all asked on the point later. What about the Mishnah here? I got Lamadal. The answer is that Mishnah is referring to everything. Get and also Dinimokas. That Mishnah Lamadal you read and we read on the board, that was referring to Get and also Shtar Moma. The one on Samachdal is only referring to what Gitte Moma. This Kiddush is said by the Maharam Shik. I want you to get that. Because the word get, the targum of the word sefer, get is the targum of the word sefer. All stars are called Lashon HaKodesh sefer. You know what the targum of the word sefer is? Get. That's why these Gedolei Achronim only asked from Daf what? Daf Samach Daled. They did not ask from Daf Lam Daled. Because on Lam Daled, the word get meant everything. Get Isha and also Dini Mamas. On Samach Daled only meant get Mamas. That's why they only focused on Samach Daled. I thought it was a beautiful Kiddush of the Maharam Shik. I didn't notice it myself until the Maharam Shik pointed this out. Okay. Very, very excellent. Okay, Yitzi, go ahead. Second part of Taisis. Now, I hope you notice this. We always stress this. When you're going through Rishon, you got to go through an analytical way. Right? We cannot skim. We got to try to work through it the best we can. Okay? Go ahead, Yitzi.
Nationality left of your days.
Excellent. Now, what bothered you when you read this part of Taisus? What bothered you? Very good, Seth. I mean, this should have been a new Taisus, no? I mean, if you want to make this point, it shouldn't have been a new Taisus. What on earth does this have to do with the first part of Taisus? Very excellent point. Very good, Seth. The Marsha is bothered by that kasha. Okay? So Yitzi read very beautifully. He says, we write 12 lines in a get. The Benetan says, get in Gamachis, 9 plus 3, even I can figure that out. Our mathematics is 12, right? Okay? So what does this have to do with anything? Oh. So the Maharsha says like this. The following Shiddish, okay? He says that we write in a get 12 lines because Stam get is the Kavana to a get Isha that has 12 lines. Meaning, What motivated Tosfos to say what he just said, that the word stam get is a get isha? How he supports that is that a stam get is kavana to get isha, because we're knowing to write 12 lines in a get. Therefore, stam get, if the reference is a get isha, it has 12 lines. That's what he wants to say, in other words. There's the kesher, is the fact that we write in the get 12 lines. And therefore, stam get, the kavana is what? To get isha. Because how do you know the word get whenever you see that word referring to get isha? Because get is 12. And therefore what? That word, Lamaisa, comes out that what? That word shows to me that we're referring what? We're referring to a get. In other words, what comes out according to the Marshal? What comes comes out according to the Mishnah. It's a chicken and the egg. Meaning, because a get has 12 lines, it's called a get. I want you to get this. The Marsha is saying that because it has 12 lines, Shemisrei Shuros, it's called a get. You follow what I'm saying? He's saying, therefore, I know that since the minig is to write and get 12 lines, I know that stam get, the kavana is get isha. Because we write 12 lines. So he says, because we write 12 lines, it's called a get. For whatever reason we write it with 12 lines, but that's the reason why I call it a get. And the truth is, I saw this in the Tosfos Yontif. You know the Tosfos Yontif? On Mishnayos? Everyone learns Rav Kati's Mishnayos, but before that was the regular Yochanan Vos Mishnayos. You have the Bar Tanur on one hand, one side you have the Tosfos Yontif on the other. So I want you to get this. He quotes Eliyahu, he quotes HaTishbi. HaTishbi. So I was wondering, who's Tishbi? I say, maybe he learned with Eliyahu Novi. You know, the Beis Yosef learned with a Malach. It's called the Maki Misharim. There's a Sefer collects, oh, you know, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch learned with a Malach. They record all the Chavrusas they had together, the Shiurim, in this Sefer called Maki Misharim. So I was thinking, the Beis Yosef quotes Tishbi. And maybe he learned this from Eliyahu Novi. So, in the library, they're great, in the fifth floor, they're Baltic librarians, up your Svi there, pointed out to me that it was written by Rav Eliyahu HaBocher, who wrote a dictionary in the late 1600s, either late 1400s or late 1600s, I forgot. I looked it up, I saw it's in the Sefer, it's called HaTishbi. It's an Eliyahu HaBocher Levita. That was his name. And he wrote the Sefer HaTishbi. It's like the Aruch. It's right next to the Aruch in the fifth floor of the library. Aruch was a dictionary written by Rishon. He also wrote a dictionary. So he's quoted, the Tosfos Yontif quotes the Tishbi. That, I want you to get this. The Marsha and Tishbi both write Sefer HaTishbi. I have to get a new one. Holds at what? Yeah, 12 lines. Because we write 12 lines in the document that divorces a man from a woman, you call it get. That's what I mean by the chicken and the egg. You follow me? And the Tosfos Yontif, please get this, says completely the opposite. He says, absolutely wrong. He says it's called get, because it's called get, we write 12 lines. But the chicken, it's get, and then because get it's called, we write it 12 lines. And the Marv Shif clearly learned like the Tosfos Yontif as well. And that's the Kesher, that Stam Get is Get Isha. Therefore, Davka by Get Isha, you write 12 lines. Like by other Staros, you don't write 12 lines. Staros and Dinimonis. So that's why we thought the reading of Tosfos is much better according to this approach. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, if you learn, like, against the Marsha and the Tishbi, and you learn that what? Oh, very good. So the Marsha and the Tishbi, but if you learn the Tosfos Yontif himself, no! He says, get, and therefore you write what? Shemisrei Shuros. And that's why it's different. Stam get is referring to get isha, because 12 lines are found in the get isha, not in dinimominus. Get, Shemisrei Shuros. The law of dinimominus. See, according to the first approach, it really doesn't explain the Kesher and Tosfos so well, does it? Okay, Tosfos Kesher is saying that Stam get is what? Get isha. But because there's 12 lines, it does explain it also. Because there's 12 lines in a get, therefore what? Because there's 12 lines, it's called get. And it's lacking something. So what it begs the question, so why was it written in 12 lines? You know what I mean? This first approach doesn't explain why is it get magically have 12? Well, 12 is the magic number, right? We're coming towards the playoffs, right? Right? What's so special? This explains why they're 12. It explains why Dafka get Isha as 12 and not the other documents, right? You follow what I'm saying? But nonetheless, nonetheless, they're both explaining the Kesher from between the beginning, the first part of this, and the second one. It's not stuff, like Seth asked. What does one have to do with another? It's a great Kesher. Terrence is, I'll tell you why Stam Get is called what? Get Isha. Because Get Isha is the only one that has 12 lines, not Dini Momentus. That works very well according to this. According to the other approaches, there was a premise that a Get Isha has 12 lines. And that's why we call it a Get. I mean, divorces a man from a woman, if he gives it again. We don't know if he gives it to her. Since it has 12 lines, we call it gay. You follow what I'm saying? Since it has 12 lines, we call it gay. According to the other shot, no. The other shot is that since what? A get is called a get, we dock the right to get Isha 12, and the other ones are not 12. What did you say?
Why?
Oh, so that's what I was going to say now. Go ahead. Yeah, real quick, Seth. Go ahead. No, I don't think so, because I think it supports the reason why a stam get is called a get Isha.
Right.
That's what he wants to tell you.
So
No, but he wants to show the scope that sometimes the word is used by other stars as well. But he wants to say predominantly now it's used for Gedish. That's what he's trying to set up. Okay? That's what he's setting up by saying that. Okay, go ahead, Yitzhak. Go ahead. Yes. Oh. Kidomar Bibo Basra. Which is Sefer Torah, which we're in now. Oh, okay. So let's get this now. I just want to note to you though, there's a famous comment of the Vilna Gaon, okay? The Gaon writes in the Divrei Eliyahu, and it's also the Kilis Yaakov, which is Rav Algazi, okay, he writes the following interesting chiddush. In all of Tanakh, there are only two letters in the Hebrew alphabet that are never found together. And that's a gimel and a tes, the only exception being the word get. You look in all of Tanakh, the only word that has a gimel and tes next to one another is the word get. And that's obviously a symbol that when the get is the separation of a man and a woman, and therefore it's not used anywhere else. It's very fascinating. The Gaon is a famous comment like this in the Kibbutz Yaakov as well, Rav Algazi. Now, the Shulchan Giburim quotes in the Mordechai, it's unbelievable, he quotes Yerushalmi that says there was a stone in the ocean and its name was Gita. Somehow the stone was Megareshes Kol HaProseha. I don't know. Somehow physically the stone was such that all the other stones moved away from it. Whatever that means. I don't know what it means. Just physical science. And he says the name of it was Gita. That's what the Shulta Giburim says B'Shem the Mordechai. Okay? So we have two other additional pshatim as to why, what the word get comes from. Okay? Alright. Now, Yitzi read very nicely here B'Shem the Rav Haigo. Why on earth 12? Okay, why on earth 12? So it corresponds to the Gemara of Bava Basra. Each Sefer Torah has to have four lines of space between each Sefer. Bereishis Shmos has four lines. Shmos and Vayikra has four. Vayikra and Bemira has four. Four plus four plus four is 12. Should have been 16. Tosa says no problem. It can't be 16 because Mishneh Torah, it does not count. Because Mishneh Torah Dvarim is a Chazara. Is a Chazara, which is interesting itself. Okay? Why is that so interesting, first of all? Why don't you count the last four? There are many mitzvahs in Sefer Dvarim that we don't have before. You're right, but the Iker part of Sefer Dvarim is a Chazara. The Iker part of Sefer Dvarim is a Chazara. And therefore, since it's Chazara, we don't count that as a Hafrada. We don't count that as a separation. A get creates a separation between a man and a woman. So we're looking to model ourselves after things that are what? We're looking to model ourselves after things that are separations. And those are lines of separation. Why do we include the last ones? Because the last one's not a separation. Because Sefer Dvarim is Chazara. I'm not sure Sefer Dvarim is not, but the Iker part of Dvarim was a Chazara. Just want to embellish that. If you look in the Ramban ala Torah, in his Akhtoma to Sefer Dvarim, he explains very nicely. He says the following, okay? You know, it's interesting. Get Isha is not mentioned before, right? Where is Get Isha mentioned in the Chumash? Sefer Dvarim. It's not mentioned anywhere else, right? So, basically what the Ramban wants to say in his Akhtamah to Sefer Dvarim is that any din in Sefer Dvarim was said already by Hashem. Hashem had told Klal Yisrael already. But since it might not be as what? Since it might not be as used as much, that particular mitzvah, it might not be used many times, he writes, or for other reasons, Lamaisa, it didn't find its place in any sefer from before, any of the four Svarim. And therefore Hashem wrote it here. So that, I was found that Ramban always explains really why that really well, because they really were separating by Israel. They just didn't find a place anywhere in the Chumash in the first four places. Maybe because the mitzvahs don't come up often so much. So therefore, since they weren't this wasn't the first time they were said. Get was never said before. It was said before. Just as the first time it's found written down in the Chumash. That's the chat. And it's very interesting. Have you ever noticed, he says, in all of Sefer Dvarim, I didn't take a check on the computer, but it never says, V'idaber Hashem Moshe Limor, O Sabbath ben Israel, O Davira ben Israel. I don't know, I'm not a Balkari, but that's what he says. You know why? Because all those Loshonas are nude Sivuis. There's no nude Sivuis. So who's a Balkari here? He never says that anymore. In all of Sefer Dvarim, that's what he says. I believe the Rabbi Yitzchak, you're Balkari. Okay, okay. He's setting up. So Lamaisa, whatever it is, that's what the Rabbi wants to say. Okay? So I think that's even more palatable. Okay? I think that's even more palatable, and not just to say the Iker part of Sefer Dvarim, that's Chazara. There are many mitzvahs. You know, we started in the shul, we have Mitzvah Shinuch here. Where do we start the Mitzvah Shinuch? Most people start from the beginning. So last, Kitetze, what's the part with the most mitzvahs? 70. Kitetze. So we started from Kitetze. There's 70 mitzvahs in Kitetze, one parsha. And our old Seth is not even mentioned. But that's the Rabbi wants to say. So it's not enough to say the Iker part is Chazara. That's hard to fathom. It's more than that. What is it? It's the fact that what it was, all the mitzvahs already said. Okay. Fine. Now, if this is the case, Lamaisa, so I want you to get this. Again, it's 12 lines because it was modeled after what lines of separation in the Chumash. So 4 plus 4 plus 4, we use the 12, but we ignore the latter 4. Okay. It's interesting, though, the Chiddushi Anshei Shein in Os Aleph on the Mordechai, I gave that to you, explains the following. He says, no, it's not 4 plus 4 plus 4. He says, we're only counting what? We're only counting 3 lines. He says, every Parsha Psucha. You know, in the Sefer Torah, there's a Parsha, the Psucha and the Chasuda. What is a Parsha Psucha? It starts in the middle of the line, right? You know, Stuma is when it starts. You know, the line is here, and then it's a break here. Sukha is that it's totally blank, and then the line starts, how do I get up the line? There's a dot there. And then you start in the middle. Every Parsha Psucha has a line beforehand. That's a din. Every Parsha Psucha has a line beforehand. So he writes the following. He says, the real lines of separation are only 3. Because every Parsha Psucha, and for that matter, every Sefer, requires what? A line. So he wants to say we're only talking about the 3 lines. The Hefsek of Shurachas, every Parsha Psucha has a Hefsek of Shurachas. And Reb Shmuel Rozovsky explains the following. He explains only the special Shuros that separate the 3, separate the Svarim, are lines that connote creases. And that's only 3. See, every Parsha Psucha, every new Parsha has one line to separate. So that's no big deal. It's kind of like, you know, a paragraph. You have a new paragraph. But there are 3 lines that are only devoted for separation. So he says, in reality, what? The truth is that we're Mona the Hefsek between Bamidbar and Far. I want you to get this. That's what I want you to see. It's really how much? It's really 16. But we don't count 4 of the lines. It's really 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3. And you do count Bamidbar and Far. And you do count Bamidbar and Far. He argues on our tesis. And he says, you do count Bamidbar and Far. But it's not the 4, it's 3 plus 3 plus 3. Plus 3. You get 12. Okay? That's what he wants to say, Lamaisa. And that's the Chiddush. Very, very interesting. So what's the Kasha? It's getting late. We got to close with this. Okay? We got to close with this very quickly. And then we got to continue tomorrow. We have a lot to still we didn't get to. Okay? But then we Thursdays we try to finish up here with somebody on the parsha. But what's the question you got to ask yourself? What we've just said emerged from Achleks the Tulsos, and who else? Against the Chiddush Yad Hashem and the Mordechai. As to whether what? What's the Nekuda? As to whether you count from either part, and as to whether you what? You count it as four or three, right? What was their goal? What was the Chiddush Yad Hashem's point on the Mordechai? Don't count one of the lines, because any parsha of Sukkah has one line. Any sefer that's completed with has one line. So you don't call that a line of separation. You only count them three. So what's the question you got to ask yourself? What's that in Tysus? Tysus did count it. Right? Tysus did count it. What's the Machlaikis in Lumbus? Why did Tysus count it? Tysus counted the four, and he didn't count the Midbar and Bar. Chiddush Yad Hashem counted only three, and counted the Midbar and Bar. Right? Why did Tysus want to count it? So Tysus wanted to count it, Lamaisa. You know why? Because he says the following. He wants to say, if you have a hefsek of three lines, you don't need a separate one. You don't need a separate line within Parsha Psucha. You wouldn't need it. In other words, Tosus holds. You're going to tell me every Parsha Psucha, let's lay. Every Parsha Psucha, we try to finish on time, let's just finish. Every Parsha Psucha needs a line. But if you have three other lines, let it count. You're not going to need three other lines plus that line itself. This line should be subsumed under the three that are needed for space. So says Tosus, it must be that all four lines are lines of Hesek. You count all four. Because this is Milanovshach. You shouldn't need a separate line for the Parsha Psucha. If you have three, that's enough. You should never require four. It must be that if you require four, the four lines are for Hesek. That's one pshat we could say. Another pshat that we could say is that Tosus says the following Kiddush. And that is that Tosus says you have to leave over a line in every parsha psuchim, he did hefsik. But you also have to, what? You need three other lines between each sefer. So three plus one is four. And you have four lines together of hefsik. As Tosus could respond and say the following, you're right. Every parsha psuchim needs one line. Between every sefer, you need another three. All four lines are for our lines of hefsik. I mean, what is that one line for? Is that line for a hefsek, or is that line just like they have a new paragraph? You follow what I'm saying? Is that one line that we said that every parsha of the Sukkah needs, is that stam to have a new paragraph? Or is it to have a hefsek? You follow me? So if they have the second shot, we're saying, no, it's to have a hefsek. So you have one for parsha of the Sukkah, and three others for the new, between each sefer. Three plus one is four. So I count it. Four plus four plus four is 12. I don't count my midbar to tomorrow. That's the second shot. The first shot is no. The first shot is the first line. If it's mitam hefsek, so if you have three, you wouldn't need it. So that's what he wants to say, Lamaisa. That it's the hefsek of shalosh shuras that you need is mitin hefsek. You don't need it. You don't need a shurah if mitin parsha psucha. So it's just saying, Lamaisa, you don't need one line. If you have three lines of space anyway of hefsek, you don't need the one line of hefsek. That's the first shot of places. Okay? Let's just close with the last line is Chiddush Yad Hashem says, you know why it's 12? Because with a get, you're able to marry any woman you want from any tribe, any shape. That's what he writes. Okay? Let's just get that last. He says, get is connected to 12 shrotim to Ramaram is, he writes B'Shem Yaguda. Chiddush Yad Hashem says B'Shem Yaguda that you need 12 in order to imply that she's mutter to anyone that she wants of the shvat. Okay? So we have a machlekes between Tysus and the Chiddush Yad Hashem. Do you count the midbar? And do you count, is it four or is it three? And that's a fundamental machlekes. And the truth of the matter is, I guess you'll also have to say, is that the Chiddush Yad Hashem says Sefer Dvarim is not completely chazar. They'll just say, no, it's not. It's not a completely chazar. You should count it as well. Count it as well. And the best variety is that what? Most mitzvahs are in there that I already mentioned before. We gave the answer to that guy. People say, no, I don't buy that. I don't call Sefer Dvarim a chazar. Okay. I will stop here. Everyone, I'm going to stop in the middle. Sorry we went over.